Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob, Scott, and Becky all review the truly wonderful Martin Ray Sonoma County Pinot Noir. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome, everybody, to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy, and tonight I am joined by Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
Hola.
Oh, it's El Scoot, actually. I'm sorry. I'm also joined by a swarmy, Triple B.
Good evening.
Oh.
Tonight, I am swarmy.
Swarmy?
You are. Yeah. Swarmy.
Yeah.
Well.
She shouldn't be, because on tonight's show.
Why are you swarmy?
She's just, you know, she envies. She covets. She covets. That's what it is. She covets my presence on the mic. She covets the fact that I have more Pinot in my glass than she does. She covets. Nevertheless, I'm going to move along because she might cut me. She might take my face off.
He's aiming for it, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
Oh, that's right. I've only just begun. And on tonight's show, I kind of hinted at it because we are drinking a Pinot Noir on the show. We have another wine from Total Wine. However, I know this wine socially outside of their Total Wine exclusive relationship.
How?
Because I've drank it before.
Oh.
Not this Pinot, but I've drank their Cabernet before.
So, Scott, you bootlegged this back from?
I did. We did.
Yeah,
we bootlegged it back?
We brought this back, yes.
Oh.
And this is the this is Martin Ray and their Sonoma Coast Pinot Noir from 2016. It's around $17.99 of your money. I know Martin Ray because back in the day, they still do make really great Cabernets. Hmm. And, you know, one they do is a Santa Cruz Mountain Cabernet, which is emulates a little bit of Montebello from Ridge. That's where Ridge is. And that's under $50. So they have some really interesting things, although you have to go to Total Wine now to buy them. But you can get it on wine.com, I think. So it's not completely exclusive.
So you've had their cabs, but not their Pinot?
Not their Pinot.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Good winery. Very good winery.
Mm-hmm.
Historically,
the
good.
The label's really pretty.
Yeah. It's very classic. Very
elegant.
You also
say, upscale.
Mm-hmm. Upscale.
Yeah.
Yet we still have Scott on the show.
And that's something to bring.
That's true.
Some perspective to the show.
And speaking of upscale, unfortunately, we have to downscale the show because we do not have the superstar.
Right, he's currently on tour.
He is on tour. He's on the West Coast in the desert currently. He's probably out there trying to count B-2 bombers at Area 51.
Yeah.
He's trying to do the raid. You've got more of that shit in there. I know you do.
Is this the weekend of
I don't know.
Area 51?
I know you got it. I want to see
that
the aliens.
That was last weekend, wasn't it?
I've been too distracted by the G7. I have no idea.
The cows are destroying the world, man. Let me see the B-2 bombers. I know you've got 500. You say you've got, they're in Missouri.
They say they have two. That means they have 557.
You say this is Vegas.
You know it.
You say this is Nevada, but it's really Missouri.
Come
on,
man.
If you say one thing, it's another.
Okay. Actually, he's more like, you know, if you say this one thing.
Come on.
But anyway, the superstar's not on tonight, and I apologize partially.
Well.
But in reality, we're doing you a favor. So, with that, we are going to take a break. Then we're going to center our minds during the break so we can come back, channel the penophile, and properly review this wine. That's not what he does. Here on the Wine Vault.
Unlicensed taxi driver here. When I'm out on the road, mayhem is everywhere. Mayhem doesn't care, but your local Allstate insurance agent, Craig Walters, does care. Are you in good hands? Are you in the good hands of Craig Walters Insurance Agency?
And if you're not, folks, please give Craig a call. His number is 740-862-4585. You can also meet him at his office at 107 North Main Street, Baltimore, Ohio. For auto, home, or life, give Craig a call. And we're back, folks. So the 2016 Martin Ray Sonoma Coast Pinot Noir. Sonoma Coast. You know, we've talked about it before. We've had things from Sonoma Coast on the show. And just so you understand, Sonoma Coast is a greater AVA. And within Sonoma Coast, there are many sub-AVAs. And some of those are Russian River Valley, Chalk Hill. Los Caneros is considered part of Sonoma Coast, even though it's also Napa. Sonoma Valley. And, you know, that gives you some idea. So we're talking about a fairly wide range. But Martin Ray pulls from three separate vineyards that they use for their Pinot Noir grapes. And they have single vineyard versions of this, too. But it's Ricciacolli, I believe, their Carton, and the Tina Marie vineyards is where these wines are sourced. 35% new French oak for 11 months. So that's some technical things about it. But there's also something very...
It says it's bottled in Santa Rosa.
Yeah. That's in Sonoma.
Is it?
Yeah. You've been to Santa Rosa.
I have?
Yeah.
Off the 103.
It just seems really... I don't know. It seems far away from me, but maybe it's not. Okay.
Well, but this one also did get a review.
Wait, what?
That's right.
I can't believe we're drinking a wine with a review.
And I'm going to welcome onto the show the individual that gave this review.
Thank you. This is...
Stop. I can't handle the voice today.
James Suckley. I'm sorry. You'll have to deal with it because this wine is very special. I provided this wine 94. I was drinking a lot that day of my points. And I... 94. I wrote... Heavily intoxicated, mind you. While I was driving a car, most likely. A subtle enriched Pinot with dried cherry and strawberry character. Medium to full-bodied and firm, like my buttocks. Silky tannins that are extremely well integrated into the palate. Lovely finish. Drink or hold. That's what I tell people about me. Drink me or hold.
You need held, all right.
That's not a very long review for 94 points. I'm just pointing.
What do you mean? And it's drink or hold?
Drink or hold, yes.
It's very good advice, James.
Hold while you drink. You can do that.
I want to hold James' hands.
Now, the Triple B, did the Pinophile review this wine?
I don't know, but I'll look.
Okay. I reviewed this wine. This is the Pinophile.
Don't be mean.
I'm not. This is the way he talks. This is a Pinot file. I think it's very good.
He's the Prince of Pinot.
I'm the Prince of Pinot.
Be nice.
You know what? This one probably got an aggregate score of 87 because the Prince of Pinot gave it an 80.
That's right. I gave it a Prince of Pinot, gave it 80. 80 points of my points.
Does he have a search? Yeah, he does. Okay.
I have a search.
Martin.
Search for the Prince of Pinot.
The Prince is retiring.
He is?
Yes.
When?
Why?
The prince is retiring, but his spirit lives on in the next great bottle of like Pinot Noir you drink.
It sounds like he's dead. How do you retire from something that you don't make money on?
It is time to abandon critical tasting and get on with the business of drinking and fully enjoying Pinot Noir.
Nobody reads him. Nobody follows him.
Dude, he has a Prince Pinot license plate.
Whoa. Is it yellow?
No.
It's part of his probation. Sir, so we know where you are at all times. You actually have to have the license plate, Prince of Pinot.
Why?
So he did review the 2015.
He did.
Mm-hmm.
What did he give it?
He says, moderate garnet color on the glass, nicely perfumed with aromas of dark cherry, timber, and Asian five spice.
Timber?
A friendly midweight wine with flavors of black cherry and black raspberry, framed by easygoing tannins and juicy acidity. A touch of oak adds interest. I like this wine for everyday drinking. Score 89.
Huh. So, aggregate.
That's a nice review.
If it does have all spice in it, it's going to be spectacular.
It has timber. Right. I'm throwing down. I'm yelling timber. You better move. You better dance. This is the night you will remember.
But seriously, that he announces in his August 1. Is this a newsletter? Is it whatever this is? It's the Pinophile.
It's his diary. It's a newsletter.
Well,
come on, man.
Come on, man.
first Parker, then the penophile.
He took his lead.
He's going across the ocean to Middle Earth now, or whatever it is.
What's he talking about?
In the glass.
It is in the glass.
In the glass.
In
folks.
The glass. A 94-point wine. Yeah.
I am now open to offers to acquire continuing publication rights for the penophile and obtain ownership of the website. Both are trademark protected.
I got a crisp $20 bill for you, buddy. Well, you don't want to know what I'm going to do with your website. Oh.
I should never have said anything.
You can buy our website, too.
We'll throw it in.
It's trademarked. There wasn't a big fight for that one. He's like, his attorney's like, really?
Okay. Well, you know, I know you expected a fight on this one, but
is there a lot of trademark infringement with the penophile? I mean, seriously, the Prince of Pino?
Probably not.
No, the King of Chianti is probably always fucking with him.
Well,
damn that Grifone. Yeah, God. Oh, jeez.
You know, but in the glass.
back to
the vino.
You can buy it.
I
he's selling out, folks.
I like the Prince of Pino.
Sure.
He's been doing this for 18 years.
And now he's retiring. He's retiring from his hobby. It's not his job. It's his hobby.
I think he put a lot of work into it. He wants to just enjoy it more. I bet it was stressful, and I bet his wife made him stop.
Bottle of fisheye.
What?
A $10.
Or what you're offering.
Gift card to Starbucks.
Oh. Is it expired?
No. It's still got $9.85 on it.
Okay. I'll buy him two bottles of Fry Brothers. What?
Sauvignon Blanc or what?
It's all cringeworthy. Oh, Jesus.
I think it's sweet. I bet he was upset writing that.
He probably was. You know what he's more upset about? We're the only ones that ever read it. But at least...
He's a retired ophthalmologist.
No, I thought he's a retired wine publicist.
Well, he is now.
Also that.
But twice retired.
He was an ophthalmologist.
Hmm. Is he going back to that?
I couldn't make it. It's a penophile. Now I'm
so
back to
mean.
Yeah.
Next.
He just couldn't see himself in the wine business anymore, so he went back to being
His
an ophthalmologist.
Rusty Gaffney. It's so mean.
Now.
It's so cute.
I didn't know what else saw him in the wine business either, so it's okay.
You don't know that.
Yes, I do.
He said people mailed him wine to try.
Okay, it's good. It was always ticking, but that's okay. All right, here, let's get back to this.
It's lacking the traditional Pinot translucence.
Well, it's Cali.
It is, it's dark.
It's Cali.
It's as dark by Cali terms.
A
Pinot.
If I pulled out, like, I won't, but if I pulled out a Rodney Strong,
mm-hmm,
from Sonoma Coast, it's going to look just like this.
Okay.
They all have this, I don't know, a very opaque, dark crimson.
It's grape juice colored.
But if you look at it.
Garnet, if you will.
It does have a slight brickishness.
That's what Prince of Pino said.
Prince of Pino. It's garnet.
Quit bringing him up. If you don't want me to mock him, quit bringing him up. You're responsible for his misery. That's all I'm saying. I hope I didn't cause his retirement.
He's just a darling little grandpa, and you're being so mean.
Well, yes.
I'm a darling little grandpa. He's mean to me all the time.
You're not darling.
No, I'm not darling.
No. There's nothing darling about you. Jesus.
If you did start calling me darling, I'd be concerned.
Does Rusty look darling?
I'm still shocked by his retirement.
I don't know how you retire from something you retired to, but that's okay.
Well, it's a second career. You know, this has nice legs.
Does it? It does, actually.
It's been a while since you all have talked about legs.
It's got legs.
This has beautiful legs, actually.
Okay, when you speak of it in those terms, I don't particularly want you to talk anymore. But 13.8 by volume is the alcohol level, which is
spot on.
Yeah.
You know what this has in the nose? It has the Pinot Funk.
It's pretty light, though, huh?
It is, but it has it's a light bit of Pinot Funk, but it has a nice core of raspberry.
Yeah.
Almost, not quite floral, but there is a little bit of a
there's something going on
honeysuckle,
there.
Light honeysuckle.
Cherry?
Definitely.
Yeah.
We did a couple
that's
of times.
That's a nice nose. Sorry about
that. Oh, I was just going to say, sometimes on the weekends when we're drinking a bottle of wine, and I think mm-hmm. we've done this some too, where you just have to go around the room and keep going through until you get through all of them.
Oh, yeah.
Like all the scents. So.
And we'll do that in a little bit.
This is really...
Well, why don't we do it now?
We'll do it in the...
This is a really nice, subtle Pinot nose. This is what a Pinot should be
well,
like.
Well, it's a Cali Pinot nose.
For sure. But it's a nice nose. It's subtle. Nothing overwhelming.
Yep.
Yeah. Smells like a Pinot.
The strongest component, by far, is the funk.
I would say the fruit.
I go for the funk.
I'm gonna actually agree with Scott because if you step back and look at the overall mosaic, you realize you're also smelling a little bit of a earthy forest floor mushroom that is kind of over all of it.
Thank you, Rusty.
Yes, but my last name is Trombone, so that's okay. No, I'm just sorry.
Oh my God, you had to.
I had to.
You're gonna get put in timeout.
Can I just point this out? None of this is my fault. It's both of you.
Continue.
That's all I had to say.
Explain why it's our fault.
Because it certainly isn't mine. So let's drink this.
That was all he had.
I don't need anything else. I like that Pinot Noir. First of all, it is undeniably Pinot. It has every flavor profile that you associate with California Pinot, whilst not being too heavy.
Mm-hmm. It's light. It's almost an elevated mouthfeel. It's pretty silky. Yep.
The best thing is... It is medium-bodied, but it's medium-bodied, which I love. Some of these damn things are so pumped up and over the top that it's oppressive. This wine never does that.
Nothing like that.
I know. No. That bothers me. If it's a Pinot, let it be a Pinot.
Absolutely. Good
call. If there's a place for a heavier-bodied wine, a fuller-bodied wine, Pinots, like, just let them be, you know, just let them be light. Let them be beautiful.
Keep going. I want to ask you a question. What do you think about the oak on this?
It's a little bit sharp tasting to me, actually. I don't hate it, but it is a little bit sharp.
I would, you know, it wasn't that long ago that you would have poo-pooed this just because of the oak.
Mm-hmm. Give it 6 months to a year, that might fade a little bit.
Yeah, let it calm down a little.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there was the initial thing you get from the oak is a little sharp, but then it kind of goes charred oak a little bit, like just a little smokiness, and it lingers. That oak just lingers.
I never really thought about it the first pull, because I just expected it to be there, but I am thinking if it was a little bit less oak, oh my good God, that would be so nice, because it would be so seamless and elegant. It is still elegant, and it's just some balance.
Yeah.
It's just that might even, you know, just a little bit less. Not much.
Right.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, and I think that oaking in a fuller-bodied wine, you wouldn't even notice it. But just because Pinot is kind of like a more of a delicate taste, the sharpness of the oak is just a little bit of a like, that was oak. And where it should just kind of... But I mean, like you. Like
that's
a couple
splitting
of
hairs.
Degrees. Right.
It really is just...
a split second. It's yeah. just when that oak hits your palate. Yeah.
And really, if this opens up a little bit more, that might mellow.
Won't be gone.
Yeah. 6 months might, that's it fair. Will mellow it. I mean, it's almost, it is there, but I
would. We're kind of mincing hairs on
no,
it.
No, I agree.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the reason I brought it up is because, yeah, I wanted to see what you thought of it.
Yeah. I wonder, I don't, in saying this like we are totally splitting hairs, we're really, whatever. I do wonder if someone that is a more casual wine drinker, not that we're experts, but I do wonder if they would even notice. We're making a big deal about it because we talk about oak all the time, but to someone else, they might not even notice it. Are you writing down your score?
No.
Let's talk about some of the flavors
not,
that we
taste. Not that you noticed now. All right. And I did write down my score, actually. I already know.
Okay.
When you know, you know.
Mm-hmm. A little trickle. Sounds like pee.
That's why I did it that way. All right, let's get in here. Cherry. I'm just going to cheat. I don't even remember if there's cherry in there, but I'm just going
to
throw cherry.
I mean, you have to do the big ones out. Okay, oak. You have to say them. You have to get them out of the way.
There's an earthy herb.
Yes, I was just
that
thinking
I'm
about.
Gonna call oregano.
I was just hitting in on that myself.
It's in the mid palate. Mm-hmm. It's hiding back there with the oak. That's a nice little earthy component to this Cali Pinot Noir.
There is mid-palate streak, actually, because there's multiple levels in which to kind of go through this. There is tobacco leaf, actually. Tobacco, whatever you want to call it. Midway through the mid-palate that goes through the finish. It's kind of it's a product of the oak and a little of the terroir, too. But I really like that. And there's a bit of spice that just goes along with that. Just a little bit. Not much. A little bit. It's the French oak probably that's kicking that in.
Yeah. That little white pepper, maybe.
Yeah.
It's not quite black pepper, nothing, but it's a pepper.
It's enough there that you go, oh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the fruit on this is nice, but it's subtle.
It is. I was just thinking about that. I'm having a difficult time finding the raspberry that was in the nose.
I don't think it's there. It's just a little. I think Rob talks about cherry cordial.
It doesn't go cordial, but there is maybe a little bit of red currant.
Yeah, okay.
A little bit. There's a little bit of a mushroom funk then is kind of lingering there. It never quite rears its head to a certain thing where you might say, oh, but it's there. It's the essence.
Is that the earthy oregano I was talking about?
It has an earthy essence that all the parts, all the parts individually doesn't really add up to that, or it doesn't feel like that individually. But when you, once again, step back, look at the wine, you go, oh, that is a lovely expression of earth. Terroir. It's, you know, and it's lithy. I've used that term before. I used it about Chateau Silver and Merlot, strangely enough. But it has this light mouthfeel, but it's pervasive and it's somewhat exciting and lively, but it stays light and elegant.
I'm going to tell you what the cherry is.
Are you? Cordite? Is that what you're going to tell me?
Cherry cola.
Cherry cola.
Subtle? Yeah.
There's no sweetness.
No. But if you can take the sugar out of cherry cola, and I think there's a little cola flavor there, too.
Mm. To me, it's more of a, in a positive way, a cherry cough syrup. But it's the positive version, not the version.
We're all over this fruit trying to describe it.
Well, I think we're just messing because it's a multitude of different things that are that because there's so a little sun-dried tomato. There's a little bit. I mean, yeah.
There's a lot going on here. The
it's slightly vegetal. It's slightly fruity. It's slightly this. It's slightly that. Are you
getting any minerality?
Oh, the whole thing chock full. Yeah, of but course. Not something that's. But it's interwoven, so I wouldn't say, oh, it tastes like slate. Oh, this.
No.
But it has, with that overall picture, you realize the tobacco streak that's going along with the French oak and the mid palate towards the back, that's a sign of minerality.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm. And the finish also has some minerality on the finish.
This wine, it is evident that they know what they are doing.
Oh, yes. Yes, I agree. They know what they're doing.
Would you penalize them more for a touch heavy oak cake versus someone that does? You know, when you have a wine that they don't know what they're doing.
Oh, by the way, this is $17.99, but I bought it for $14.99. Just like to point that out.
Wow. You could pay $30 for this and not be upset.
Not at all. I don't think it's heavily oaked. I just think right. There's just that little
it's a touch
sharpness
sharp.
To yep. it. But yep. But honestly.
It belongs it's, there because it
kind of going away a little bit.
Yeah, but it also it creates a lot of the other elements right. that are through that right. mid palate all the way through the finish. That if you didn't have that oaking, you might not have some of the subtleties. There's a lot of complexity here, but yeah, the front palate is the biggest thing that's hardest to decipher. Really is.
It really is, mm-hmm. But not.
I
in
honestly
a bad
some
way.
Of that cherry cola mm-hmm. at the end with the oak. Yeah. It's like mixed in with the
yeah.
Oak.
It's coming.
It's a nice.
And I, everything, all the descriptors both of you have used.
Geez, sorry.
If you drink it a certain way,
mm-hmm.
yeah, okay. You see a little bit of the slight. It's not a bad thing,
yeah.
But the medicinal. Yeah. It's not medicinal, but cherry cough syrup.
This is in completely.
A I'm yeah. not sure how that works, and yeah. I. But it's true.
We mm-hmm. I think we've kind of gotten away from discussing this, but you know we're. The assholes in the restaurant that are, you know,
yeah.
you know, yeah. draw an arrow over yeah. our wine. And we do that in the show, but this is a wine where it's completely different
oh, yeah.
when you do that. Mm-hmm. When you hold it in your mouth and you draw air over it, that's really bringing out the subtle little things we're talking about.
Yeah.
Where if the cherry and the currant are there. And maybe they're a little more decipherable if you don't pull the air over it.
Mm.
You know, the oak brings out these other characteristics. I didn't get that tobacco until I really
Scott
pulled hard.
Just quaffed. This is a soft wine, but it goes through the mid palate and it gets a little punch of tobacco. Isn't that so nice? Just lightly, just quaffed. You're not drawing air. That is so lovely. Just lightly quaffed. Mm.
You know what?
That's delicious.
Also, is not as pronounced when you don't draw as much air over it. The oak isn't as
no,
pronounced.
It's not. It's not. Yeah.
What would you, if you knew you were going to have this wine, what would you make to go with it?
Hmm.
It's easy to go. You know, we always. Tend to go to roasted chicken with Pinot,
oh, no.
and but that's there. You
lamb.
Know?
I was going to say the lamb you made.
The
last
lamb
night.
Would be very nice.
Yeah, we've talked about it before on the show, but Aldi so had good. The butterfly leg
yeah.
lamb,
and I did last night, and it was very good
on the Weber.
And
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out for the recommendation on the lemon.
Oh yeah, the lemon
was so good.
Lemon and lamb are best friends.
Helps it pop. Yeah, really good.
Lemon
little Acacia Pinot Noir.
Nice.
We had on. Well, we didn't like it on the show that much, but mm-hmm. tasted the same in civilian life. Lots of stewed sun-dried tomato. And if you like that.
That's your wine.
That's your wine.
Well, it's kind of a nice pairing with the lamb, though.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't bad with the lamb. It's not a bad wine, actually. It's just not what you want.
How did you do your leftovers?
What leftovers?
Ah!
We're no leftovers.
We both
that
had
was,
seconds.
Yeah.
Wait, that was a 2+ pounder, wasn't it?
2 pound. Why?
William had some.
Oh yeah.
Don't judge.
Well, that part of it was steak.
That explains it.
Yeah. Don't judge. I just ate it.
You just pounded it. Mm-hmm. Did you slice it thin on the bias?
I did not slice it thin on the bias. It was a moderate thickness. Not too thin.
It seemed
a lot smaller, though, when it came off the grill.
Absolutely. Well, it shrinks. I mean, you know.
There's a good amount of fat content to it. You know, you're gonna render down some fat. But one thing that I haven't done yet, but I will, you grill that lamb and you treat it a little differently. You know, probably more oregano, more spice, fenugreek. And then do it like you do with pitas. Do it like you do gyros.
Oh,
thinly sliced feta cheese, olives, tomato.
Mm-hmm. That would be delightful.
And grill your pitas.
Yeah, that would be very, very good.
Pita bread, but
yeah,
it would be really good. I mean, we're not really eating white rice, but something like that too. Yeah, over like a bowl.
And it's, you know,
you could do it over lettuce.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. You know, you could do pitas for the boys and Rob, and then you just have it over salad. I eat gyro salad all the time.
Mm-hmm. You know? That would be a really, really nice change. And the lemon then would really be.
And
you drizzle the lemon on it. Mm-hmm. But the feta, you know what else is nice on a gyro? Nobody serves it this way. Roasted red peppers.
Oh.
Yeah.
Like jarred roasted red peppers. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, folks, we're going to take a break. And then we're going to be right back here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks, for real this time. On tonight's potpourri, we're going to go around the room with a simple, easy question, except for Scott, because all questions for him are difficult, and he turns it into something that is pedantic and tedious. But nevertheless,
okay.
Pedantic? I take medicine for that.
Okay. Where is your favorite region? But. And you might want to channel the Pinophile for this, even though he's in retirement.
Hmm.
Think of him as your Yoda or Obi-Wan.
Hmm.
I am going into Wine Wars there, their territory. But
I already know.
They retired, too. What is your favorite area for Pinot? And why? So where, why? And then also, how? I want you to figure out how to answer how. I know. I want you to figure out how to answer how. Hey, yeah. And we're going to go around the room, but we're going to start off with the triple B.
No, we're not. She did say she had her answer.
She's cheating. She has it on her phone. So we're going to go to the Scott, because I want to hear what this is. He's going to say Burgundy and drink Burgundy.
Well,
okay, I like things. First Cru Burgundy and Grand Cru, $7,000. I drink it all the time.
Yeah, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Pinot's not really my thing necessarily, so I don't know that I have a region.
Yes, you do.
But from a consistency standpoint on entry-priced Pinots, it's kind of hard to beat in New Zealand.
That's where I'm headed.
Now, and the why is just that. It just seems like whether it's Sauvignon Blanc or the Pinot Noir, the winemakers of New Zealand know who they are. They don't trump stuff up. They don't try to get all jazzy. They let the grape talk. They are what they are. They don't always have these extravagant mouthfeels. They don't. Aren't necessarily spectacular, but it's kind of sort of hard to go wrong.
That's where I was headed as well, especially like Love Block, especially like, you know, my girlfriend/boyfriend Kim Crawford. And I was going to say, like, they're not trying to be revolutionary. They're not doing anything trendy. They're just making consistently really, really good wine. And I like that. They're not trying to oak up a Sauvignon Blanc. They're not trying to do anything like that. It's just, this is our winery. What we make is very good, and it speaks for itself.
Hmm.
That's exactly where I was headed.
And I thought Scott would say something different, but I also agree. In reality, no, New Zealand is... They show right now... once again, you can go to Burgundy, but it's kind of... Accessibility is a difficult thing because you're going to be getting the lower rung stuff that just is, it's not what you want. So to get into the stuff that is truly classic and desirable, you're paying an expense. Just, it's very, very expensive.
It's very expensive.
And hard to find. So... It kind of knocks it out right there. Cali, there are some Pinots here and there, hit and miss, that you can like, but some of them get pumped up. This one's delicious and wonderful. But it's more like Love Block than anything I've had for a while. Quite frankly, it's like Love Block. And that's one reason why I like it. It's half the price of Love Block.
Love Block has...
Well, the nose on mouth.
Well, I was going to say, Love Block, to me, it almost has like a... I don't know. It almost has like a fall or something like that taste to it.
Well, Love Block gets 93s from real wine reviewers, not James Suckling, but still.
But and the other thing to say about a Pinot from somewhere like Kim Crawford is it is like $20. And it is exactly what a Pinot should be.
It's fine. Yeah, it's actually it's less than that. It's about what this is, $17, but it's consistent and it's enjoyable. Oyster Bay and for $10.99 is not bad.
Bay is a bad Pinot.
Palliser Estate.
If you wanted somebody to say, like, I've never had a Pinot, here's a standard. Mm-hmm. Here's an entry into it.
Willamette's good too, but the good Willamettes are still $30, $40, $50 mm-hmm. bucks.
Yeah, and
it's also Willamette.
There's also some issues with the Oregon stuff that we, you know, the whole Wagner thing and all that, and we just haven't done as much of the Oregon Pinots.
I do prefer if I'm doing
I would California. Like to spend more time doing Oregon Pinots.
Well, Santa Barbara, south of San Francisco, that's where I really prefer Pinots. You know, Santa Barbara, Santa Rita Hills, that kind of stuff. I kind of find those to be a little more appealing for my sensibilities. Not Monterey. But, you know, they always have, and we have our Monterey. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah, go.
I don't want that.
I'm glad you do.
I don't want that. No.
Down
I don't,
in Monterey.
I don't want your damn Monterey.
So pretty.
Yeah, I don't want your Monterey.
Hell's Angels killing people in the crowd.
Yeah, I don't want your Monterey.
Down in Monterey.
No. But, you know, it's just kind of how it is. And I agree. I think that some areas can, at their higher end, when they're really good, can be better than in New Zealand. But... In New Zealand, there's fewer things to choose from, mind you. But what is there is all of a style that is very accessible, but enjoyable, and represents Pinot. And there isn't.
I can't believe we all agree.
Well, there isn't a rogue operator out there perverting it like a Meiomi or some of those things. I mean, they don't exist.
Do we get Chilean Pinots or no?
Chilean Pinots are very good too.
We've had.
Have I had
some good ones?
Yes, you have. You have. We had Santa Carolina. That was good, but Alpatagua.
Santa Carolina.
No. Santa.
I wasn't here for Alpatagua.
Carolina.
That's terrifying.
Did you just have an episode? Did you have another episode?
No, I was actually belching.
Like I was almost stroked out.
I know. The Apaltagua.
It was very nice.
But, you know...
You know what we probably drank as our first wine that night? Something that I couldn't even get through a glass. And then I went upstairs, and you all had some amazing wine.
It happens.
You might have been... You might have been with pregnant. Child.
Yeah, you chose to get pregnant again.
What does it mean if you have that star on it?
What star?
On Apaltagua.
That's an A. That means the episode is aired.
Very nice.
It's not up to date, mind you.
Right.
And I just, with Chilean wines, I just don't have enough
Well, we don't have a large enough sample.
Well, I just don't have enough confidence in them.
Yeah.
We're talking about a region. You nailed it, the consistency.
Yeah. You could tell someone, like, drink your way through New Zealand Pinots with a decently high degree of confidence that they would get whatever their price range, you know.
But New Zealand Pinots, just like Chilean Pinots, hold something in common. Mm. They are emulating more French style.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Now, listeners,
especially Chilean,
we want feedback. What region do you like Pinots? What's your go-to Pinot region? And give us some examples. We'll put them on the show.
Yeah.
Like Hocking Hills Winery.
You know what, Rob? If you had California. Made fun of the Prince of Pinot, this might be something that he would write in about.
That's right. I would write in, but I'm retired now. You can buy my website and all my reviews. You can buy it. You could be Prince of Pinot too. I have a crown for you. I got Burger King.
Truly the worst.
Literally, Prince of Pinot too.
But
Prince of Pinot part two.
Don't you have to be related to him to become the Prince of Pinot?
No, not if you buy his website.
Yeah, you can't buy royalty. It's just wrong. Everything's wrong.
It's 2019. You can do whatever you want.
It's United States of America.
I was going to say, isn't that so millennial of him?
I have to pay my court fines and fees. Stop. And restitution.
Stop. You're gross.
Did you make me say my website? I wouldn't want to buy your website.
I heard he's retiring from wine reviewing to movies to the White House. He's going to be the official wine spokesperson.
Wow.
For the administration.
Hello, this is Prince of Pinot. I'm here to tell you we're going to nuke a hurricane. It's a good idea. I got an idea. It's Prince of Pinot. Thank you. Goodbye.
So we're going to take a break, folks, and be right back. Here on the Wine Vault. Hey everybody, it's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault?
I know the Unlicensed does.
Well, that's great. Do you know how you can get that done? Do you know the one way the world can find out about the Wine Vault?
What way is that, Rob?
Giving us a review on iTunes. So, take the time. Give us that 5-star or whatever. Let us know. Let the world know that you love the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks. We are going to now review the 2016 Martin Ray Sonoma Coast Pinot Noir from California. We are going to go around the room, and we are going to start off with a triple B.
Under pressure, bearing down on me, bearing down on me.
That's all.
Sounds terrible.
All right, stop.
So I saw your score, and I can't go as high as you.
Oh,
I don't care. Maybe that's a red herring, and don't be looking at my paper.
So for me, this wine is exemplary.
Mm.
Oh, very right? Nice. You can tell that the winemaker knows what he's doing. And I think, or what she is
it's
doing.
It's a she. What she is Lindsay doing. Something.
Courtney.
Lindsay can be a boy.
This is a woman. It's girl power. Don't be sexist.
The winemaker knows what they are doing.
Yes, she does.
Okay. So, because of that, there's a couple of things that I think if it was just slightly better, it would really make this sing. And I feel like when you know better, you need to do better. And this winemaker does know better. It is a very, very good wine. Very good wine. I'm going to give it an 89.
Oh, for God's sakes. Boo.
Because
that's bullshit.
It is almost an elevated mouthfeel. 90. I told you I was struggling with
it's
this.
Ridiculous.
The oak absurd. Is a touch sharp.
No, it's not.
I'm giving it an 89. Yeah. I could possibly be convinced to go 90, but not with that attitude.
I'll just cross it out. That is a 90, folks. You heard it here. She said, first of all, she either lacks integrity or she'll give it a 90.
the king of lacking integrity.
Right. Not calling the kettle.
Go ahead, Scott.
First of all, it's Courtney Benham. So that should give an extra point Courtney because her be name is Courtney. You're right. Courtney could
Courtney
be a boy.
And his winemaking team. It is a dude.
Yeah. Well, nice job, Courtney.
No, but no, he's talking about Ray's historical significance. He's talking about the original Martin Ray.
20 years later, Courtney blah, blah, blah. Stumble upon. Recognizing his good fortune.
Oh, you're right.
Courtney's a dude.
That is a girl's name. Okay, go ahead.
Dude has a girl's name. Dude has a girl's
name. What is that?
I know where he's
If a crow was doing that. It would sound like
dude
that.
Looks like a lady.
I know, but it's not. Just go ahead. What's your review?
Do that in your pedophile voice.
Please
sing dude looks like a lady in the pedophile voice.
Never touch a book by its cover.
Save us, please.
Jeez. I mean, who you got at the back of your cover? The book we want.
Okay.
What if Steve's fatty liver fell in love with a pedophile?
And they had a baby.
Margin. Is it a pedophile? What are you talking about? Pepperine, pepperine.
Pedophile sings. That's his. Oh, he retired from this to go be a singer.
Anyways.
Yes.
Now that we've heard from the Russian judge in the room, this is 90 all day long. Not that a 90 and 89 is that much difference. I would ban this 89 to 91. I'm going 90 all day long. I'm not sure what this has in the bottle that's going to last. But for a drink now, Pinot, it's really good. I agree with Rob. It'd be interesting to see if you set this back a couple years, if that what happens with that oak. A lot going on. I'm solid. This is a 90 for me.
And now I will provide my master class on the show. I tasted this wine. I noticed a wine of exceptional complexity. Layer upon layer of elegant seductiveness. Like a temptress beckoning me closer and closer. And so I provided this wine 92 of my points.
This is an unusual disparity in scores.
That's because the 89 is stupid. If you went 90 or 91, I would not besmirch you, but I would feel sorry for you.
You can give it a 90. I don't dispute it at all. A 90 is 90. Fine. That's fine.
No, stick with your 89. There's nothing.
No,
there's
I don't care. Give it a 90.
Nothing wrong with 89. And
no, the reason why I'm giving it a 92. First of all, I feel that it's elevated above the Rodney Strongs that we had. And it just is. This is a more elegant. First of all,
the elegance,
right. And it's right. The way it lacks. It doesn't have the weightiness that they had. The Chalk Hill, all those things. And look what we reviewed those at. What 91, 90, and that's that range where it has wonderful flavors and it is a Pinot, but it's a little bit weighty. This wine, that's a 90, 91. Those are exceptional, tasty wines.
Yep.
This wine is just a bit better. So it's in that, it's 90 to 92 range. And I'm giving it a 92 simply because I feel it's delicious. And it's such a lovely surprise. I thought it was going to be 87, 88, especially with James giving it a 94.
But, you know, it's been so long ago. And, you know, I've only ever had the Rodney Strong on the night we had it on the show.
This is the best value in Pinot Noir I've ever had in my life.
I was going to say, I think that Rob's softening in his old age.
Maybe I should retire.
Sell the website.
But I'm gonna sell you.
Well, I don't think you're going to get that much.
You're not even worth by the pound anymore, losing all that damn weight.
I know.
I knew that was coming.
$2.99 a pound. Damn it.
So, ladies.
Fatten you
now,
up
it's not the superstar, but I don't rip my clothing.
We're happy
I
about that.
I might wear clothes that have holes in it or
grossly
inappropriate.
Or sometimes you don't wear clothes at all. I found that out the hard way.
Gross.
Yeah, that's a little too much information.
Yes, ooga.
But okay. From memory, though, I believe I like the Rodney Strong a little better than
this. That's fine if you like a weightier Pinot and you're a bit of a trotch.
This has a level
of liking the Pinot like he does.
No, he just attacks me in general.
We all like the Pinot the same way. I just like it more because I'm more cultured and I'm exceptional.
What really surprised me about this is the level of complexity it has. Mm-hmm. And that's why absolutely. I gave it a 90. It's hard for me to do anything but a 90. And I thought 91, I'll be honest, but 90. The complexity, the way we tried to banter about just what's the cherry, what's the currant, mm-hmm. and it's this when you pull air over it, it's that when you don't.
You know,
and
what,
I do think that sharpness of the oak did calm down.
Yeah, that's fair.
Do you know what sold me, though? When I quaffed it that one little time, just how lovely that tobacco was.
Yeah, when the tobacco came through.
It still had complexity just quaffing it.
The
oak in this, for new French oak, it really added a lot to the wine. There was so much that it drew out, probably more terroir-driven. But I think without the new oak, I don't think it pulls it all. I think that pulls it all out.
Yeah.
Now, from a how we make wine standpoint, I don't know that that's an accurate statement, but I know this. I liked the new French oak.
So did I. And, you know, just maybe a little bit less of it, but like the newest Love Block, the Love Blocks. I like the previous Love Block, I would have given it a 92, but I saw it as very similar to this. The new one, the most recent vintage that we also have quite a bit of, it's better than this, but it got 93 from the Spectator, and I'm definitely down with that, because it takes this elegance and cranks it up another 6 degrees.
But I think something we didn't talk about as much was the mouthfeel.
Oh, the mouthfeel.
I think Becky, you were the only one that really truly commented about it, and you said it's not quite silky, but you know it is headed that way.
Yeah, it is.
You know, Total Wine exclusive on this Martin Ray. Kudos.
I wish I would have bought a case.
Kudos.
You would have hated me, but I should have. Just one case of this. Wow.
And they won't ship to Ohio.
Yeah, but you can get it on wine.com.
They won't ship this to Ohio?
No. Total Wine Total Wine doesn't ship
to
Ohio.
But wine.com does.
Total Wine doesn't ship to Ohio.
Total Wine does not ship to Ohio.
But you know what? It would be more fun.
Kentucky?
They will ship in state, so they've got a Louisville store.
Yeah, they do.
So they will ship to Kentucky.
Mm-hmm. We just go down to Louisville for some reason.
Unless they could ship it to my mom.
But you know, it'd be more. But you,
granny.
Yeah,
ship to granny's house.
But what'd be fun is occasionally trying their single vineyard stuff, mm-hmm. but also going over and trying their Cabernets. The Santa Cruz Cabernet, I think, would be something I'd like to try.
I'll tell you, after having this, I would love to try their estate Pinot Noir.
Oh yeah.
Something that I think is really fun is we found a winery we like, drink the different varietals. Mm-hmm. I think that's a great conversation to have.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah. They're higher level. They're Diamond Mountain, whatnot. I've had that before. It was at a wine dinner many years ago with people I worked with at Anderson's.
They have a Howl Mountain.
Yeah.
They've got a lot of interesting stuff, man.
At that dinner, I brought a 1996 Chateau Saint-Jean Cinque Cépage, and people are listening like, what? I brought that. My friend Steve, not superstar, different person, Steve Fishkin, he brought a Martin Ray Howl Mountain Cabernet. Mm. And we knew, and it was like $75 then, and that's back, I don't know, 16, 15 years ago.
Their allocation's really interesting.
It's mm-hmm. way interesting.
Dry Creek Cab.
They have a Rutherford Merlot.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're all over the place, but they are so interesting. The Santa Cruz, though, stuff, because Santa Cruz is where they do Montebello, which is the only ultra premium Cabernet in that area. A Santa Cruz Cabernet. It's fantastic.
Santa Cruz Syrah. But
you know who's had Montebello? I have. Because I've been to Ridge. So, we, folks, are going to bid you adieu with two 90s, a 92, a Hall of Fame designation.
Yes.
All for Martin Ray, Sonoma Coast, Pinot Noir, Bravo, tip of the cap. And to the Pinophile, have a merry retirement. I hope you enjoy your life.
I'll up my offer to two $9.85 Starbucks cards.
Cool.
So and a bottle of Martin Ray.
Oh, also.
And a bottle of
Martin. So long, farewell, auf Wiedersehen, saying goodnight. Yes, you can get the fire. Anyway, so for Rob the Wine Guy, Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, and the Triple B, we are going to bid you adieu. And see you next time on the Wine Vault. Good night.